Your Bible, I want you to turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 7. How many have your Bible with you now? Let's see. Good. Now, you know, this is a Bible-believing church. That's what I like about this place. Amen. Now, hold it up. Let's see. Hold it up. You got your Bible. Hold on. Keep it up now. Keep it up. How many read it every day this week? You keep it up. Well, today's the first day of the week. Did you read it this morning? It's a little trick. Now, I wouldn't do that on Friday. I wouldn't embarrass you. But on Sunday, if you were in church, you at least read it. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 7. Let's look, if you would, please. And we'll begin reading in verse number 21. Matthew's Gospel, verse number 21. The Word of God says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Father, dear Lord, we thank you again for your goodness. And I thank you, dear Lord, for the privilege you've given me to stand in this great pulpit. And Lord, I pray that you might help me tonight, that you might anoint me fresh and new with your Spirit. And dear Lord, may I say the things that be pleasing to thee. But Lord, I pray that you would do what I cannot do tonight, and that speak to the hearts of people. And Lord, we want you to speak to us. We come prepared to listen. And when the last amen is said in this service, may we determine by the grace of God that we're going to do what you speak to our hearts about. And we'll thank and praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. I want to speak tonight on this subject, doing the will of God. Doing the will of God. The Lord Jesus is now teaching his disciples in parables. And of course, we all understand that parables are earthly stories that reveal heavenly truth. It's through these parables that we learn much about the Christian life and how to live in this day. Parables are wonderful. I hope you study the parables and glean from the parables. Now, every parable's got one great truth, but they got a lot of application. And so tonight, I want you to think about this one parable the Lord Jesus is talking about. He's talking about those that hear the word and do it, and those that hear not the word and don't do it. I made a decision when I was a young Christian. I decided that with God's help, I was going to be a practicing Christian. Now, somebody made that statement. They made a simple statement and they asked, "Are you a Christian?" And then they said this, "Are you a practicing Christian?" And I learned something. There are a lot of Christians that are not practicing Christian. And I want to be a practicing Christian. I want to try to do what God speaks to my heart about. I want to walk in the light that God has given me. And so we have in this parable some great truths. Now, before we get started, I'm just going to give you 2 points tonight, maybe 3, depends. But I want to give you some things just to think about to begin with. First of all, God knows our lives from the beginning to the end. The Bible says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Revelation chapter 22, verse 13. So God knows everything about our life. He knows how we got started, and God knows how we're going to end. God knows every single thing about us. It's an amazing thing. God knows everything. Everything. Doesn't that stir your heart to know that? Come on, doesn't that stir your heart? God, the Bible says that God literally has numbered the hairs on our head. That fascinates me. Have you ever thought about God's numbered every hair on your head? Some of you fellows maybe have lost a hair or two over the years. But I got good news for you. God has numbered that hair and God has kept up with it. When you see that hair go down through the shower drain, you can say, God be with you, friend, till we meet again. God keeps up with us. He knows every single thing about us. He knows all about our journey. It's an amazing thing. God knows the beginning from the end. He's got so much for our life that He wants to reveal to us. He's got a plan and a purpose for our life. He's got a plan and purpose for every single life. I'm glad that God's got a plan, aren't you? He's so interested in us, He keeps a book on you. Psalm 56, verse number 8, He writes down all of your wanderings. God keeps up with it. Every little thing that goes on, God writes it down. I like that, don't you? So God's concerned about us. He's concerned about every step of the way, and He's with us through the journey. Not only is God knowing all about us and with us, but the Bible says that God speaks to us. That's amazing truth. The Bible says in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse number 9, He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now I want you to get this picture, if you would, that God knows all about us. He knows our beginning from our end. He knew all about us before we were ever born. He knew all about us. He knew all about us when He died on Calvary. He paid our sin debt in full. He knew all about us. And God is concerned about our beginning and our end. And the Bible says that God speaks to us. I think that's amazing. He speaks to us on a level we can understand. Now, when we talk to each other, sometimes we may not talk on a level that everybody understands, but God speaks to us on a level that we can understand. I'm glad God spoke to me when I was 26 years old, on July the 22nd, 1976. God spoke to me about salvation. I knew that I was lost and on my way to a devil's hell. Now, I'd had my brother tell me that, but it's a whole lot different when God speaks to you about Him. God spoke to me. God speaks to us along life's journey. God speaks to us all along life's journey because God knows something. God cares about how we're going to end this thing. God cares for us. The Bible says that He wants us to cast all of our cares upon Him, for He careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. We got a God who knows us. We got a God who understands us. We got a God who knows all about our journey. We got a God who keeps a book on us. We got a God that has numbered the hairs on our head. We got a God that knows every single thing about us. And we got a God that travels with us and speaks to us along life's journey. And God wants us to have a good ending. Because the Bible says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Now I want you to keep that thought in your mind tonight, because as we go through this message, I want you to think about God speaking to you. I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture, He first speaks to people about their heavenly home. The Bible says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He first says, I want you to know, not everybody that calls me Lord, Lord is going to heaven. Do you know what that means? Not everybody that sits in the church service is going to heaven. You don't go to heaven because you got religion. Not everybody that preaches is going to heaven. They said, many are going to say to me, in thy name we've done many wonderful works. You see, God speaks to us about our heavenly home, and there's only one way to go to heaven. This is it. Doing the will of the Father. He said, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The disciples got some clarification on this. They asked once, what does it mean? What is the work of God, that we might work the work of the Lord? And the Lord Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 6, He said, this is the work, that you believe on Him. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because this is a great church, and I'm sure that most of the folk in this auditorium are saved tonight. But let me just say this. There's a world of difference between believing in something and believing on something. He that believeth on him. The Bible says in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. There's a world of difference. Now, a lot of people think they're going to heaven because they believe in Jesus. The Bible says the devil believes in him and trembles. You know, you go to heaven because you believe on him. You believe on him. That means you put your faith and trust on the finished work of Calvary. The Bible says we're all sinners. Do you believe that tonight? And one thing we all have in common, we're sinners. We inherited a sinful nature from Adam. It doesn't matter what color your skin is, we all inherited a sinful nature. That means we got it in us to be as evil as possible. And the Word of God says that we're all sinners. We're sinners because we're born sinners. And our sin is the evidence that we are sinners. What we do doesn't make us sinners. What we do reveals that we're sinners. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. There is no other way. And God loves us, and Jesus died for our sins. And the only way to go to heaven is to come to Christ in repentance and faith and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him fully for salvation. Now, I'm not going to say a whole lot more about it, but let me just ask you this question. Has God ever spoken to you about your heavenly home, your relationship with Christ? Has the Lord spoken to you? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? That's important. Because that's where it all begins. Amen? And so he speaks to us about our heavenly home. Then I want you to know tonight, he speaks to us about our earthly home. God's concerned about our lives. He's concerned about everything in it. Now look what the Bible says in verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will like unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And then he goes on to say, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, God is concerned about our life. He's concerned about our journey. He's concerned about our homes. He's concerned about our children. And so what God does, he speaks to us along life's journey about what we need, because there's coming the storms of life. The truth of the matter is, the storms are coming. Everyone is going through some storms. If you're not in one tonight, you probably just got out of one, or you're headed toward one tomorrow. Storms. We're living in a day where our nation is going through some real storms. And God is speaking to people. You see, no one is immune to storms. They come all through life. They touch every area of our life. I'm going to say more about it later on. And so God knows that we're headed toward a storm. Are you still with me now? And as we're headed toward this storm, God is concerned that we make it through this storm. You see, God doesn't always calm the storms. Most of the time, God strengthens the saints so we can go through the storm. And so God speaks to us today about the storms we're going to face tomorrow. He prepares us along life's journey to go through these storms of life because he wants us to stand. He's got a plan and purpose for us. I'm going to say a little more about it later on. Now, the storms of life reveal the foundation we have. Now, we all have a foundation tonight. There are those that have a house upon a rock, and there are those that have a house upon the sand. And the truth of the matter is, you cannot tell about the foundation of a thing from the outside. You know, I was in construction before I got saved, and I was in construction while I went through Bible college, and then I was in construction when I went into ministry. I thought God saved me from laying brick, but he saved me from sin. Thank God he called me to preach. Amen. But I knew a little something about foundations. And you know, the storms reveal the foundation. And you never know what kind of foundation something has until the storms come. And when they come, you'll know what kind of foundation. They may look exactly the same on the outside. They may have the same everything, same color, same roof, same everything. But the storm is going to reveal something about it. The storm is going to reveal whether it's on a rock or whether it's on sand. I remember when I was a young man and we were working in Fort Myers area, and we were building a condo on Bonita Beach. And it was just one of those weeks where the condo was almost finished. And it was one of those weeks where one of those storms just set in, you know, like a tropical storm. Now, down where we are, you know, on the coast, the wind and the rain and all that goes on. And we hadn't worked for several days. And the general contractor called and he said, "We got an emergency. We got an emergency. We need some help on a job." And this job that we were working on in Bonita Beach had some problems. And so we got as many men together as we could. And we went down to the beach and we were shocked at what we saw. We had built this condo. Of course, the engineers had laid it all out and everything. We'd built this condo a good distance away from the beach. But when we got there, the beach was at the condo. Not only was it at the condo, but the waves were going under the condo. And some of the corner had been washed away. And it was terrible. And so they said, "We're going to try to do what we can." And they ordered concrete. And it's just pouring rain. The wind's blowing. And I mean, it's just a terrible mess. And they're trying to throw rocks and just anything they can, any kind of scrap under that condo and just pour concrete. And I mean, just all day long, just trying to get everything in it. But the wind and the rain and the waves just kept washing it away. And pretty soon, about a third of that condo was hanging out over the water. And we watched it. It began to sink a little. And then all of a sudden, it broke and fell into the water. I want you to know, it didn't have much of a foundation. It didn't have the kind of foundation they put in the buildings now. But on the outside, it looked like everything was going well. It looked like it was going to be a beautiful place. But the storms and the rain and the wind beating upon it revealed what kind of foundation it had. I want you to know tonight, the storms of life reveal what kind of foundation we have. And we're all headed toward those storms. And God knows we need a strong foundation. And so along life's journey, God begins to speak to us about things in our life, just little things. But every time He speaks to us, we have to make a decision. Will we do what God says, or will we not do what God says? If we don't do what God says, we're building on sand. If we say yes to the Lord, then we're building upon the rock. And He speaks to us all along life's journey. There's never a time in our life when God doesn't speak to us. It's an amazing thing. He speaks to us. He speaks to us, and we're all, speaks to us on the level we are. You know, your pastor can get up and preach a message, and he can preach on sin or whatever the subject is, and he can just tear it up. And there may be some folk here that have been saved for a while. They're seasoned saints. And when he's preaching on, "Love not the world, neither the things of the world," and seasoned saints will think about that, and some things will come to their mind. The Holy Spirit of God will speak to them about something in this world they're not to love. And then there may be some new Christians, and he speaks to them about something different. He wouldn't speak to them about the things he would speak to a seasoned Christian about. He speaks to them on the level they are. Isn't that amazing how God does that? And so we all have to make a decision. Will we do what the Holy Spirit says? Will we do what God says? And those who say yes to God build a foundation. And as we go through life, we come into these storms. And we have all kinds of storms. We have financial storms. We have physical storms. We have problems in our family storms. problem child. Different things happen. I've seen families go through some tough storms, and I've prayed for them that they might stand. When they've done all to stand, stand there for. And I'm glad to say that I've seen some stand through the storm. That they're on the rock, and God has something special for them. We just had a ladies' conference a week or so ago, and we had a great meeting. Had ladies from all over the state come, and mine was just a powerful meeting. Matter of fact, the lady said, "This is the greatest meeting we ever had in our church," and that puts me on the spot then. But it was a great meeting. It was. God just got in the thing, and I mean, it was just powerful. And they finished up on Saturday, and they had a nice luncheon. And the ladies were getting all their stuff together, and they were getting ready to leave. And one of the dear ladies from the Tampa area got a phone call. And it was a terrible phone call. As a matter of fact, one of our young men came and he said, "Pastor Sexton, you need to come. A woman just got a phone call and she's fainted." I thought, goodness gracious. And so I quickly went around, and there she was, Dr. Carter. And the women were around her. And I looked. She got a phone call. Her daughter, who lives in Cleveland, Tennessee, right outside of Chattanooga, had been in a terrible, terrible accident. I mean, such a terrible accident that the fire department had to remove her from the car with the jaws of life. Terrible accident. She wasn't conscious. And the woman said, "My daughter's 8.5 months pregnant." I'll tell you what, that's a storm. But I found something out. She didn't almost faint. That young man had mistaken. She didn't faint. She fell down on the rock of her foundation. She wasn't on sand. She had a foundation in her life, and she got a hold of God. I'll tell you, and when you've got a foundation, you can do something for God with your life. And she knelt down and she prayed, and the ladies prayed around her and asked God to intervene. And I want you to know, to God be the glory. He protected that little baby. He protected that mother. There was no harm done. That's a foundation. I don't know what we have in store in our life. I don't know what our families are going to go through. I don't know the heartaches we're headed. I don't know all the problems that's coming, but I know one thing. God speaks to us, and as He speaks to us, we have to make a decision. Will we do what God says? And if we do, we have a rock. You say, "Well, preacher, that's so simple." God speaks to us about being faithful in church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. People say, "Well, I don't know. You know, I'm pretty busy. I really don't need Wednesday night." Hold on just a second. God speaks to us on Wednesday night. Sunday school, God speaks to us. Do you know when God speaks to us, some of the greatest victories I won in my Christian life, I won by God speaking to me in the Sunday school hour. God speaks to us. I remember on one Wednesday night, I was tired. I'd been working all day, and I just barely made it to church, and I was just so tired. You know how it is. You're trying to keep your eyes open, been working out in the sun all day, and I was sitting there, and the preacher that was preaching that night, the guest speaker, was honestly hard to listen to. I've never heard bad preaching, but I've heard borderline bad preaching. It was difficult. I mean, I was holding my feet up. I was doing everything I could just to stay awake. I had my wife and two little girls, and I'm trying to encourage them just to hang on. Come on, this is good. Amen. I'm trying to throw amen in once in a while just to help him out. And he was just, you know, "Well, I'll tell you, this is a wonderful passage, and God is so good to give us this. And it's going to help all of us if we can get a hold of this truth tonight." And I'm thinking, "Oh, please, dear Lord, I am so tired. Speak up!" You know? And then he said one of the greatest verses in all the Bible. John 8:29. He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him. He said you ought to decide tonight that your life is going to be pleasing to God. That's the highest goal of the Christian life. Just like that. That quickly. God gave me one of the greatest truths for my life. That night I made a decision. I got up when the invitation was given. I came down to the altar and I said, Lord, from this day forward, I'm giving my life to you to please you. For I do always those things that please him. Now, I hadn't always done it, but God spoke to my heart in a service that you wouldn't think God's going to speak to you. And there are people who say, I don't have time for Sunday school. I don't have time for church. I don't have time for revival. Hold on just a second. God knows what we're going through in life. God knows there's a storm ahead of us. God knows we need this foundation. And so God speaks to us. And as we hear the voice of the Lord, Jesus said, he that doeth these things of mine is building his house on a rock. And he that heareth and doeth them not is building it on sand. God not only speaks to us about the storms of life, God speaks to us about our life's ministry and service. It's an amazing thing how the Lord works. I believe there's more in the heart of God right now to be done in this world. I think God has more in his heart to accomplish. Do you believe that? Yeah. Now think with me before you say amen. Now listen, do you believe that God has more in his heart to be accomplished in this world? Do you believe that? If it weren't true, we'd be gone. If it were not true, we'd be out of here. But there's more in the heart of God. And God is concerned about this world's condition. And I believe the Lord is using the circumstances of life. And I believe the Lord is using all this that's going on in our nation's capital and in our economy. I believe God is using every bit of it to get our attention. I learned a long time ago, God speaks to us through his word, through his servants, and through circumstances. And God's people haven't been listening to the word. And God's people haven't been listening to the testimonies of God's people. I've heard for years that we need to sober up and get after it for God. We're losing our nation. We've heard that message for years. But now we got the circumstances of life that's speaking to us. And God does speak. He speaks to us about things we need. We're in a day where people need help all over the world. One thing I love about Help's ministry is we're trying to help nationals and trying to help people all over the world. And I believe that God is calling people. The Bible says in Matthew's gospel, turn back there if you would please. In Matthew's gospel, chapter number 9, the Bible says in Matthew's gospel, chapter number 9, in verse number 35, and Jesus went about all the city and villages teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I want you to read with me verse 38, would you? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. God is concerned about this harvest. Do you know that there are people dying every day going to a devil's hell? I asked some preacher friends of mine, we were just sitting around talking one day, and I said, can I ask you a question? I'm really curious. I want to get some insight on this. I said, do you think that there are people in our area that are dying and going to a devil's hell that God wants to go to heaven? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I do, too. Do you think there are people in our city, in our area, that if they had a chance to hear the gospel, they'd be saved? No doubt about it. Do you think there are people in our area that we're going to meet God and give an account of? No question about it. This generation of Christians is responsible to get the gospel to this generation of unsaved. And God is more concerned than we are. Not just about our Jerusalem, but Judea and Samaria and the othermost parts of the earth. And God speaks. Now, he doesn't do this. Hey, you, let's go. Time's up. Let's get after it. That's not the way the Lord speaks. You see, God speaks to us about this is it. That still small voice that bears witness that this is God's will. That's the way God speaks. Let me show you something. Come here just a second, brother. So here's brother. He's saved. He's on his way to heaven. God's word said that God is with us. He's in us. He's before us. He's behind us. He's over us. He's underneath us. He's wonderful, isn't he?
Amen.
And so as you travel through life's journey, God speaks to you. Just about little things. He'll speak to you about something. And then you have to make a decision. Will you say yes?
Yes.
Do the will of God. Your foundation's stronger. And then God speaks to you more. And you can either say, I'll do that or I'll do it not. If you do it, you get a solid foundation. If you do not do it, you get sand. And then the storms of life come. And God takes you through the storm. And my, what you learn through the storms of life. Brother Tim, my son-in-law, you prayed for him. I mentioned him earlier. He got a bad report one day. He got hit with a football and it hurt him. And through that whole process, found out he had cancer, terrible cancer. It kind of kill you quickly. Man, you're talking about storm. You're talking about heartache.
Yeah.
He and Mandy, my daughter, it could have destroyed their lives. But I couldn't do nothing for them. I'm his father-in-law. I'm her father. I'm a pastor. But I was glad to know they had a foundation. I can remember going in that intensive care when Tim was in septic shock twice. And I wanted to tell Mandy because the doctor called me and he said, you better prepare the family. He's not going to make it through the night. And I just didn't have it in my heart to tell her that. And she's all in the garb. And I went in there and she said, Dad, God's going to get us through this. God's given us assurance. God spoke to us. We know God's going to take us through this. And I said, praise God.
Hey.
Praise God. They weren't on sand. They weren't a solid rock.
Hey.
And they go through the storm. Now, God can speak again. He gives you more because the foundation that you're building is going to determine what you do with your life. See, you can't build a skyscraper on a little foundation. You got to have a strong foundation. And so God speaks to us. And then God shows us the thing we're to do with our life. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 and following. No other foundation can man lay. It's that foundation that God is laying in our lives. It's that foundation that God speaks to us about what we're to do with our life. Does everybody understand that? And so the Bible says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send forth labors into his harvest. Now I'm sure that most everybody in this meeting tonight who understands world evangelism has asked God to send forth labors. If you've ever asked God to send forth labor for anything, won't you hold your hand up big and high? Now, do you think God speaks to people? The Bible says that he lighteth every man that cometh through the world. The Bible says that he speaks to us all through life's journey. You can rest assured God is speaking to people about the work that he wants accomplished in this world. But what's the problem? What is the problem? The people he speaks to have no foundation. And when God points out something he wants to accomplish, the problem is that this generation of Christians have weak foundations. Our foundation. And I think, thank you, brother, I think before we're ever going to have revival, before we're ever going to see God do great things, that we got to do one thing. We've got to do what God speaks to us about. Now, he don't just speak to us about going to the ends of the earth. He speaks to us about little simple things. About reading your Bible every day. You know, we say there's five things every Christian ought to do. They ought to read the Bible every day. Now, everybody understands that. Read the Bible every day. Doesn't take a whole lot of work to read your Bible every day. You can read the Bible every day. You believe you ought to read the Bible every day? You ought to pray every day. You ought to be faithful to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, any other time God's people are meeting. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves. That's just the foundation. You ought to give. If you don't give, you're a God robber. If you don't give, there are so many things that could happen in your life. And you ought to be telling people what God is doing for you. You know the amazing thing? Someone who just got saved can share their faith. You don't have to know the Bible. You don't even have to know the books of the Bible. You don't even have to know the Gospels to be able to share your faith. All you got to know is that God saved you, changed your life, and here it is. First person I ever led to Christ, I was out visiting, and the woman asked a question. I was just trying to take care of some problems and on a bus route, and the woman asked a question. She said, who do they pray in your church to? I thought, well, we pray to God. She said, okay. She said, what's your church trying to do? And I said, try and get people saved. And she said, how can I get saved? I said, hold on just a second. I didn't know how to tell her how to be saved. But I had a little booklet in my car for new steps in the right direction for new Christians. And so I said, hold on a second. I went out and got that book, and I sat down with her and her daughter, and I said, I don't really know all the verses, but this little book has got it all in there. And I read that to her. And we got to the prayer, and I said, now this is like the prayer that I prayed. And I said, if you'd pray that prayer, I believe God'd save you. And she said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And I said, and I closed my eyes. She read it. And then her daughter, 9-year-old daughter, wanted to read it. And she read it. They rode the bus the next Sunday. Both of them got baptized. They continued to ride the bus. I didn't even know the books of the Bible. I didn't even know the Gospels. But I knew God saved me. The truth of the matter is, everybody ought to be telling somebody about the Lord Jesus. God's got something great for us to do with our life. The Bible says, and every man's work shall be revealed. We're going to meet God one day. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after the judgment. Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31, that God has appointed a time, a day, to judge us. We got an appointment with God. We got a date with deity. We're going to meet God. But along this life's journey, God speaks to us because he wants us to accomplish something with our lives. The truth of the matter is, there are only two kinds of people when you come to Christians. There are those, according to this portion of Scripture, that hear what Jesus says and do it. It's so simple. And there are those that hear what Jesus says and don't do it. I remember when I was in Bible college, I was so impressed with all the people knew. And then the more I got to know some of the professors, I got a little disappointed with them. I remember telling my wife something. I said, honey, you know, they know a whole lot more about the Bible than I do. But I really think I believe more of it than they do. And I didn't realize what that meant. It's not how much we know, it's how much we believe and how much we're going to do. Listen, what kind of foundation do you have? Do you have a rock or do you have sand? The storms of life are coming. The call of God for your life is coming. God's got something special for you. And the storms are going to reveal the foundation. Now here's what this great parable teaches. You ready? You cannot build a foundation in the hour of a crisis. Can't be done. You cannot do it. Just like that building was falling in the Gulf. Well, anybody with any sense knows. You can't fix a foundation in a storm. You may put up some shutters. You may nail a door up or something. You may tack a shingle on the roof. But you won't see people digging and supporting a building with a foundation. Because the storms of life reveal what the foundation is. You cannot fix it. I want to challenge you tonight. You're going to hear a lot of messages in this conference. God's going to speak. He's going to speak to you about a lot of different things. I really believe that. And when God speaks to you, say yes to Jesus. Dr. Robertson said something once. I wished I wrote down the meeting it was in, but I just wrote it in my Bible. I didn't put it if it was a workers' meeting or a church service. I wish I did. I can't remember. But I tried to keep up with the little things he said. Yeah. And here's what he said. Never put confidence in a man or woman who does not frequently visit the altar. Right. Yeah. And then he said this. If God speaks to him, and they don't respond, God can't use them. If God doesn't speak to them, you certainly can't use them. And they'll always hurt you. Truth of the matter is, every Christian ought to come and say, Lord, speak to me. I don't know what's in store for my life, but I do know this, along life's journey, God's going to speak to me. God's going to give me truth. And that truth that he gives me, I have to do something with. If I say yes, I got a stronger foundation. If I say no, I got sand. And I've seen a many a church and a many a beautiful Christians. You think they had a foundation, but they didn't have it. They had sand. Let's bow our heads. In just a moment, we're going to pray.